Hello and welcome to our February Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm so glad you're on the call with us today. I'm Cindy O'Neill Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections, where we offer monthly Exceptional Connections networking luncheons, as well as quarterly educational series for networking mastery skill shops. Our Exceptional Speaker Bonus Calls highlight our monthly Woodinville, Washington chapter spotlight speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our community and beyond. This month, I am super honored and excited to be highlighting the amazing Debbie Page. Debbie was a 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent February 10th Woodinville, Washington, as well as our February 12th Vancouver chapters. And it was a treat to have her share her brilliance and wisdom with us. And we are very excited, as I mentioned, to have her share her insightful and inspiring 7 steps to success, raise your purpose, raise your revenue, and raise your profit talk. So to set the expectation on this call today, Debbie's generously agreed to share with us for the next 20 to 30 minutes, and we'll then open the call up for Q&A. So be sure to write down your questions and save them until after Debbie's talk. So we'll plan to finish up by 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. And we actually have some people from the East joining us today. So welcome, West Virginia and beyond. So be sure to stay on the line until the end of the call. We'll be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Debbie, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. Debbie Page is an internationally recognized, award-winning entrepreneur, business coach, and advocate for women's economic independence, and is recognized as a leading authority on cash flow for women in business. Her clients achieve stunning success with profitability because of her commitment to accountability, execution, and a keen understanding of the systems and processes that create a sustainable business. For over 2 decades, Debbie has worked with women and money and has acquired, scaled, and sold 2 businesses of her own. It is my great pleasure to turn this call over to the always brilliant, always amazing Debbie Page. Take it away, Debbie.
Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate it. You know, hello, everyone. It's good to have a chance to spend some time with you this morning. If we're new to one another, I just want to say thank you for, you know, taking 60 minutes to invest in yourself for the benefit of your business. I, as Cindy said, have been on an entrepreneurial odyssey, you know, for over 20 years now. And as I sit back and reflect on some of the things that have brought me where I am, the irony and the beautiful part is that it comes back to my childhood, as many things do. And I don't know about you, but did you ever take those family road trips in the vehicle? In our case, it was the RV with our motorhome. And, you know, my folks participated over the years in a variety of different MLMs, multi-level marketing opportunities, indirect sales opportunities. And, you know, while they weren't able to themselves turn that into, you know, the future that they desired from a business standpoint, what they did for me was drip on me consistently and, quite frankly, immerse me in these concepts of success and prosperity and higher thinking and positivity. And so, you know, 12-year-old me sure wasn't real jazzed about listening to Zig Ziglar in the motorhome, but nearly 50-year-old me is super grateful that we have those road trips. And what I will say is that, you know, the good old cassette books that we would get, you remember those big vinyl books that you would get at professional development conferences with like 8, 10, 12 cassette tapes in it. And then if you, you know, stayed with it, you graduated to CDs and, you know, you just kept growing your learning library. You know, my parents were early adopters of what they now call automobile university. And I think in our society and culture today, there's so many of us, probably more than ever before, who are taking advantage of our windshield time, whether it's driving to a networking event and listening to something like this, or listening to a podcast or an audiobook that we have borrowed from the library, or something that we've downloaded from our Audible subscription, or some other training that we've purchased for ourselves. you know, we're really maximizing this time to improve ourselves. And by improving ourselves, we're improving our world. And sometimes our world is just the world we walk into in our home. And sometimes the world is, you know, out your front porch and your neighbors to the left, the right, and across the street. And sometimes it becomes bigger than that. You know, the important thing, I think, is that for all of us, we're just committed to this journey. And so my parents didn't intend to, you know, immerse me in this idea of positive psychology and successful training and thinking. But as I say, what happened was by just being around it all those years, it was, as I tell my clients, like sticking your hand in a jar of glue. You put your hand in and the glue is going to stick to it. And when you pull your hand out, some of it's going to drip off back into the jar or on the table or in your lap or wherever. But some of it's going to stick. And that's what I know about success. Is that the more we revisit the teachings, the concepts, the ideas, and we re-examine where we are on our own individual journey and road to success, the better we become as individuals. Now, I want to put a couple caveats here. When I use words like success and better, those are for you to define. I do not define success for you any more than you define it for me. And I don't want you to be looking at your definition of success based upon what you see in the external world around you. And I think that in my experience, one of the reasons that people fail and struggle on their entrepreneurial journey is they never become clear on what their definition and their vision of success is. They take a look at, you know, the people around them and whether it's material things that they value, and they see other people with those material things. They think, then I have those material things, the house on the lake, the car with the cool name, the latest, greatest piece of technology, then I will be a success. But they aren't starting with the internal dialogue about what does success mean to them. And one of my favorite exercises is, you know, one of those why exercises. You know, why? Why do you want success? Why do you want to do this? Why? Until we get down to the core of it. And what I would suggest is if your definition of personal success for you, and we're going to talk about this through the lens of business today, and I will also encourage you and remind you that you can do this through the lens of your relationship with your spouse or partner or with a parent or with your children or with your health or your spirituality. Whatever it is, success can be attached to that. You just get to define what it is. One of my goals is an example. I use the same principle. A number of years ago, in fact, 10 years ago, when I wanted to run my first half marathon. And I broke down the 7 steps that we're going to talk about today, and I implemented them on a physical endeavor. Now, did I break any records? Nope. Did I win any major awards? Nope. But did I meet my definition of success? Yes. And I can say yes 100% with confidence because I had two things that were going to define success for me. One was the fact that I just simply completed the darn thing. That would be success enough to get those 13.1 miles in. And then second was to finish it in a very specific amount of time. And so that way I knew that I was going to be pushing myself as well as accomplishing the ultimate thing. Now, there were people who I trained with who completed it faster. They didn't care. I cared only from a standpoint that I was happy for their success, but I wasn't using what they desired for success as a benchmark for mine. So there's a personal example, and now we swing it back to the business. So if we think about business, you know, this is we're recording this call in mid-February, and I always say to entrepreneurs, this is a really dangerous time of year. And the reason it's a dangerous time of year is that it's easy to start getting slippery with yourself. So what typically happens is there's a goal-setting endeavor that an entrepreneur takes on somewhere around typically the end of December. And they hash out some plans and some numbers and some execution and some marketing ideas. And they start the new year all fresh and ready to go. And they get into the new year, and the first couple weeks maybe are a little bit wonky, having a hard time finding their stride. End of January comes, they're a little bit off track, or a lot off track, and they do a quick evaluation at the beginning of February, if they even do an evaluation at all, and they say, and this is where the danger comes in, well, it's only February, I still have time. But what they then don't do is go back and reevaluate what exactly they need to adjust or shift or modify in order to get back on track, or in fact, to completely shut things off to the side. Because what happens is, if we don't evaluate and then readjust and evaluate and readjust and modify our actions and our behaviors to our output and execution, what happens is we set ourselves up for this spiral of failure, quite frankly. And when we get into this thing where we're never achieving our goals, we're not getting the outcomes that we want, we get discouraged, we get disappointed, and then at some point we kind of throw our hands up and go, I don't even know why I do this. It isn't working. And I can't tell you the number of people I've met through the years who say, when I ask them, tell me about your goals for the year, they're like, I don't really set them. I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants and see what happens. Like, okay, well, how's that working out for you? And the typical response is, not so good. This is why I'm here talking to you. And when I ask further about why this idea of setting goals, why they've given up on it, it's because the definition of success that they have is not clear. And the goals that they have set for themselves are not clear. And they have not right-sized the actions that are necessary. So I'm going to use the Letters in Success as an acronym with some key points that you can execute on. And what I know is that when I work through these with each client and we come back and we revisit them, we always get the desired outcome. And the reason the client can get the desired outcome is because we're constantly measuring and adjusting, and I'll talk more about that. So if you want to write on the left-hand column of your paper, just straight down the letters for success, so S-U-C-C-E-S-S, so write that down the left-hand column of your paper. And you may want to draw some lines underneath the letters and take some notes next to them, because that's where we're going now. So the first S in success is you have to set goals. There is something that I read that I talk about all the time, that a goal properly set is halfway reached. And there is a science and an art to setting goals, and it's more than just throwing a dart at the wall and saying, well, that sounds good. If a goal is based upon revenue, as an example, and you set a goal for this year for $200,000 of revenue, you need to be able to break that down and say how much of that money is going to come from the individual units or revenue streams that are available in my business. And is there a certain time of the year where my revenue is higher because of demand? Is there a seasonality to my business? Is there a time of year where that revenue is lower? And then what can I do to try and move that needle and set up a little bit? But at the end of the day, if you can sit down and break down the goal, so start with the big objective and then break it down into the subsets of data, the numbers you're going to need, that's going to help you then set up the actions that you're going to need to take. So set clear goals. The U is I want you to understand two things. I want you to understand the obstacles that are going to be ahead of you. The truth is, friends, that every single one of us faces obstacles on any given day, any given week, any given month, any given year. Some of those obstacles are related to personal encounters. Some of them are related to business endeavors. You know, some of them are a combination. But when you set your goals, what the second step I have people do is to sit down and say, okay, so this is the path that you're laying out for yourself. What are the potential challenges or obstacles that you're going to face? So understand what's ahead of you. Ignoring them isn't going to make them go away. Identifying them and then creating opportunities to work around them are going to set you up for success. So if I have a client, as an example, who has a certain number of client meetings that is a goal that will get her to her definition of success, we have to really look intentionally at her days and the probability that's going to allow that to happen and lay it over the seasonality that is our life. So during school year, as an example, the 8.5, 9 months the kids are in school, not including their vacations, there's a very specific amount of time that she is available to see clients and do any in-person meetings, networking activities, things like that. When school gets out, her time becomes more constrained, and we have to look at what are the ways creatively we can set up a schedule that's going to allow her to keep herself on track to hit that goal. One woman I worked with a few years ago, this was her story. She had good output during the times that her kids were in school, but when kids were out of school and summer came or the longer breaks happened, she just spiraled out of control. Because her time, she wasn't good with the time and the timing of things. The kids had activities, and she was not sticking to her own schedule. And this had been a repeated pattern of hers for a number of years. So we sat down and we talked about it. We knew what the problem was. We tried to figure out some solutions. And in the beginning, she was resistant to the solutions because, quite frankly, oftentimes understanding the obstacles ahead of us involve us looking at solutions that are going to require us to invest some money of our own. And when we sat down and took a look at it, I helped her see that, you know, bringing in, you know, sort of a parent's helper a couple days a week for a few hours at a time during the breaks and during the summer holidays and ultimately even during the work times actually freed her up to generate more revenue. So even covering the cost of that, she was able to still generate a significant amount of money. So understand the obstacles. And then the other piece I would say to you is understand the sequential steps to get there. So break everything down. You don't just land on $200,000 of revenue. You have to break it down by incremental steps. The first C in success is for commitment. I want you to commit to the goal. Like, this is what I say is the Scarlett O'Hara moment. If you've ever watched this movie, Gone with the Wind, it's a classic and it's one of my favorites. There's a moment where Scarlett is returning to Tara and she is beaten and broke, but she is going to bring this beautiful piece of her family and her history and her heart back to its glory. She falls down on the ground and she pulls up a root vegetable. And she shakes her fist at the sky and she says, "As God is my witness, I will never go hungry again." And that's the moment where Scarlett says to herself, failure is not an option. From here on out, I'm going to do what it takes to get the outcomes I desire. Now, little side note, I wouldn't exactly take all the actions that Scarlett did in her life, but the point is she was committed and she got the outcomes that she wanted. So really be committed to the goals that you're making, the understanding of the obstacles that are ahead of you, and then creating the sequential steps to get to the goal and get around the obstacles. The fourth C is to create, or the fourth letter and the second C is to create systems for success. Really take a look at what are the systems that you have in your business that are supporting you on this path to success. A system is a documented process. And when I ask a question on marketing or sales or follow-up or client experience, and I use the word intentionally, tell me your system for follow-up, tell me your system for marketing, tell me your system for sales. People will sometimes answer me with I do step 1, 2, and 3, and I'll wait, and that'll be it, and I'll clarify, so that's your complete system, yep, okay, and so how often do you execute on all those points? And the vast majority of time, the answer is most of the time, which isn't all of the time, which also isn't most of the time, it's simply some of the time. And so when you think about systems, a system can really start folks with something as simple as an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and writing down the steps that you want to have happen. And then finding a way to get it into a checklist, a spreadsheet that you're going to execute on every single time. You're making a promise to yourself, but again, making the commitment, as Scarlett would do, as God is your witness or whatever you believe in, you will not leave your desk on Friday until you have checked all your boxes. Systems will support you in your success. People often resist them because, especially my creative in on the call, systems can feel very like, oh, you know, I'm just a free spirit and I'm easy, or just, you know, it works better for me just to wing it. And I don't want to take away your creativity or your free spirit. I want to support all that, and I want to show you how the systems actually support your ability to be more creative and to celebrate more of that unique and beautiful free spirit. So the second C, again, is to create systems for success. The E is a reminder to you that every single action matters. Everyone. Nothing is discounted. If you think about, you know, professional athletes, and I'm going to use kind of the upcoming Olympics as a couple of times as an example that we can all, I think, relate to. With every action mattering, it means that nothing in our business is a throwaway conversation, a throwaway follow-up, a throwaway email. Every action matters. If we think about competitive athletes, how much time do they spend practicing their craft, getting to the point that the muscle memory takes over and they get their head out of the conversation, right? Our brains are beautiful things, that they can be really tricky, and they can also undo us quickly. But if we can create muscle memory, if you will, for the actions inside our business, we're setting ourselves up for success time and time again. So figuring out what are the things that you are committed to executing on every single day or every single week, whatever your time frame is, to get you to your goal. If that means that you're a mortgage professional and you're committed to making 20 outbound phone calls a week, I'm going to tell you, as somebody who in a previous life was committed to making 100 cold telephone calls a week, it is a whole lot easier to break those phone calls out on a daily basis than it is to try and power through them all in one day. Some temperaments and personalities can work that way. Others, it's better to break it up. And so in working with clients, I try and figure that out, but we make that a non-negotiable. Every action matters. Now, I might have a client do an accounting of their activities and sort of reconcile their activities, if you will, for the week. And it's pretty common, and I'm sure you've had this happen too, where you'll be like, yeah, I made those 20 phone calls, but, you know, nobody bought from me, nobody was interested, nobody, you know, gave me their credit card. And I'll always pause and say, yet. You know, and Cindy, you talk a lot about this. And, you know, business development is a lot like your great passion, you know, planting a garden. And if we just, you know, the spring is starting to spring around here. It's toying with us. You know, the sun is out today here in the Pacific Northwest. I'm itching to go out and plant, but I can't yet. So I'm tending my garden. I'm preparing my soil. But if I went out there today and threw a bunch of seeds in the ground and then went out tomorrow and was mad that the seeds hadn't grown overnight, it's not the seeds' fault. They're not that far in the process. It's my fault of not being able to manage my expectations. And so the same is true in our businesses, that while those 20 phone calls that week didn't result in business that week, we don't know what seeds were planted through those conversations. And then through those conversations, how we nurture those relationships and how those relationships either turn into clients or champions who advocate for us and our success. So remember that every action matters. There's nothing that's a throwaway conversation, a throwaway email, or something that you can say, I'll just roll it into next week. You know, it becomes like a really bad debt snowball, right? If you only make the minimum payment, the principal is still going to continue to grow. And in business, if you're doing less than the minimum in terms of activity, thinking you're going to backfill into the following week or the following month, at some point you cross this line of no return. And it creates stress and then sets you up into that cycle of failure. And so then the next S that I have for you in success is I want you to see your outcome. I really want you to understand and visualize what the outcomes are that you desire in line with your definition of success. Now, I'm going to hit pause here for a second, because if we're newer to one another, you know, I am very left brain linear, love my spreadsheets, can spend all day diving into the data, figuring out the best way to solve a problem. Formulas are my friend. And for a number of years, I thought that that was the only way. And probably about 10, 11 years ago, I got really interested and curious about positive psychology, again, kind of winding back into the hand that got stuck in that pot of glue when I was a kid, and the ideas of success and positive mental imaging and the idea of creating a vision for what we have and revisiting it. And so this is my second, you know, kind of comeback to the Olympic analogy. So as we come into the Summer Olympics, you're going to see story upon story upon story about these athletes and their pre-event routine. And I can't say every single one, but I'm going to say nearly every single one of them, if you ask them, would talk about their pre-event routine and how they visualize their entire competitive moment, whether it's a track and field event. They feel themselves getting into those starting blocks. They feel the tension in the muscles. They make it a complete sensory experience. They feel in their mind the ground underneath them on the track. They feel the pressure of their toes in their shoes. They hear the murmur of the crowd and then the silence. They feel their heart starting to accelerate as they wait in anticipation for the moment for the starting gun, and they feel themselves exploding out of those starting blocks and on their way to their greatest competitive moment. They see every stride. They see every turn. They envision themselves in the pack. They know where they are in terms of their strength as a runner. They're either a leader all the way across or they're a mid-pack person, and then they push their way forward because they have a really strong kick and a finish at the end. But whatever it is, they see every single moment of it. And I would invite you all to see your vision of success every single day. And so that could be something as simple as a couple minutes at your desk in the morning, looking at your calendar, closing your eyes, and seeing that day unfold in its perfect way. You're training your brain up to look for the good that you're seeking. And it's going to keep encouraging you and setting you on that path. See the desired outcome that you want in success. If it's a dollar amount, see that amount every single day in your bank account. Envision it. Understand what it's going to feel like to be able to open up your bank account, to be able to go into your banking institution and make a withdrawal. If it's something that's a tangible sign of success to you, then make it a sensory experience. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? Maybe the reward for yourself is a trip or a vacation or a holiday. Maybe that's one of the hallmarks of success for you this year. And so success as defined isn't going to get you where you want if you just say, yeah, if I hit my number goal, then I'm going to take a vacation this next year. As your coach, I'm going to challenge you and say, where is that vacation going to be? How long are you going to be there? Where are you going to stay? Who's coming with you? What are you going to do while you're there? How are you going to be while you're there? What is that going to mean to you? How does that feel? Right? So we're taking it from, if I hit this, then that, to when I hit this, then I have this experience and I can talk my way all the way through it. And that's what seeing and really understanding what your vision of success is. And then the final S that I would say is, again, I'm going to give you kind of a bonus one here for those of you who've heard me talk. I want you, first of all, to share your success. I want you to tell the world and be loud and proud about the success you have when you hit a goal, when you sign that deal, when you get that gig, when you make that revenue goal, when you have that big win, when you get approved for that thing. There are more people who are cheering for you than are not. And those people who are not, my friends, they're not your people. So share your success. And here's the other thing. You know why else you do that? Not only is it great for you, it's great for everyone else. Because, see, when I see you succeed, when I see you hit your goal or your benchmark, I get really curious. I first celebrate and think, what an accomplishment. And then the second thing I think is, I wonder how she did it. And I wonder what she's learned that I might be able to adapt or adopt into my business or into my life. When you succeed, you inspire others to succeed. So you want to share that. And then the bonus S in success here is to set time to measure and adjust. Constantly be measuring and adjusting your actions, your activities, measuring them to outcomes, and constantly adjusting the lever of the dial. You know, I think about the, when an astronaut goes to the moon, as an example. Space travel isn't just leave Earth, go straight, get to moon. The way they get there is through a series of small adjustments, moment by moment. Because, see, if they just started, took off, and didn't adjust, they'd end up somewhere other than their desired destination. But because the astronaut in that capsule is taking the time to constantly adjust, constantly adjust, constantly adjust, they get where they're going. And the same is true for you and your business. So set your goals, understand the obstacles and what it's going to take to get there. Be committed to what your definition of success is, and don't be swayed by someone else. This isn't somebody's better than you or you're better than them. This is your life. This is your business. This is your definition of success. Create those systems. And in those systems, you may need accountability. Accountability might be an accountability buddy, a mastermind group. It might be time for you to hire your coach. But accountability is a key part of your systems for success. Remember that every action matters. Share your vision. Share your wins. And then make sure that you're setting the time to measure and adjust. You do this, folks. You're going to get where you're going. This works for my clients who are itty-bitty-baby brand-new business owners to clients who've been in business for many years in the multiple seven-figure category. This is the process at a very high level, broken down very fundamentally, that will get you exactly where you want to go on the road to your success in your business. So thank you so much for listening, Cindy. I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I'm here to ask questions and be a resource for you in the time that we have left.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Debbie. I have to tell you, for the listeners, we had the pleasure, as I mentioned in the intro, of having Debbie speak to our Woodinville community and Vancouver, Washington chapter this last week as well. And this is the third time I'm hearing this. And I've heard just as she, over the years, as Debbie, you've kind of perfected your seven steps. And every time, I get so much out of your sharing. So thank you so much for generously sharing with our community. I've unmuted everyone, so feel free to chime in. But I'll just start off real quickly just to warm up the space here for asking questions, because this is the opportunity for ahas and questions and insights, and what a rare opportunity it is for us. But muscle memory, for some reason, that's what jumped out at me this time listening, Debbie, is being able to the importance of muscle memory, of us doing things and being able to understand how important it is to have that. Just over time, you know, your body responds. You don't even have to think of your actions because you've been doing it so much, so many times. You know, perfect practice makes perfect, right?
Exactly. You know, and the beautiful part about that, Cindy, is, and thank you for that, is that when one of the hacks, as the cool kids would say, that you can start building that muscle memory is to stop relying on your brain to remind you of what needs to happen. So everyone who knows me knows that my calendar drives my life. And to some of you, that feels like, oh, God, that sounds really stressful. And it's not. It's actually really liberating because I don't have to think anymore about what I need to do when I sit down at my desk in the morning. I have a very specific process that I go through during my day very intentionally. It's the way that it starts. It's the way that it ends. And I don't have to think about what I need to do. My brain hang out and handle things that are bigger, higher level things that I want it to be working on, instead of, hey brain, can you tell me what we're supposed to do this morning? Because I'm a little tired today. I'm a little, you know, got a little head cold going on, and I don't know. I sit down at my desk and my calendar tells me what to do, and then that lets my brain, you know, do what I need to. And because I've taken that time in the morning to sit down and have a vision of my day, I'm going to pick up the phone, I'm going to make my 5 phone calls, I'm going to send my 3 follow-up emails, I'm going to do my little 2 video messages, I'm going to work with my clients very intentionally. I see how the arc of that meeting is going to go with each client during the day, and then I see how I wrap up my day very specifically and how I bring it to closure. So I already know how it's going to be, and even if things go a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, because I've had such a clear vision, just like a competitive athlete, you know, if there's a little moment where there's a break, you know, using a runner as an example, there's a break in their stride, they're not quite where they are, they don't panic. They just lean into what they already know in their DNA, mm-hmm, and they run with it even further. And that's what we can do as business owners.
And it helps silence the monkey brain that's saying, oh, nothing's happening, this isn't working. You're trusting the process. Right?
Yeah, because how many times have, this is one of my favorite questions, I'll talk to clients, potential clients about marketing, and I'll say, all right, so tell me about your marketing process. And again, using intentionally the word system and process. And so I'll hear things, you know, like what they do. And I'll ask, because I have a checklist of things I'm curious about that I believe work and I know work based upon my own results and my own client outcomes. And so I'll ask things like, well, tell me about your experience with a newsletter. You know, how have you ever, you know, launched a newsletter, what does that look like for you? And, you know, it's amazing to see how many times people will say, and I know, look, I've said things like this too in my life, so there's no judgment here, but I always think someday the tide is going to turn, and the people will be like, oh, yeah, you know, those don't work for me. I'm like, okay, well, tell me more about that. And it's like, well, you know, it just, you know, I sent them out, and it didn't work. Okay, well, how many did you send out? Well, I sent out 2. Okay, and you sent out those 2 newsletters how long ago? Well, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. So 4 or 5 years ago, when you didn't have as clear a vision about your business, you sent out 2 newsletters, and you were disappointed because, well, nobody bought from me. Was that the point of the newsletter? What do you mean? Well, is that why you're sending out the newsletter inviting them to buy? I don't understand. Well, I mean, if the intention of the newsletter was to invite them to buy from you, then sure, you can be disappointed, but it sounds to me like you might not be clear about why you were even sending the newsletter, you know, because there's a difference between an educational piece versus something that's meant to be a sales letter. And that can be really revolutionary for people, right? So just because we've done something once doesn't mean it doesn't ever work. It just means that time it didn't give us the outcome we wanted. So let's go back and figure out what we can do a little bit differently to modify and adjust. And yeah, sometimes, team, we put it down and say, nope, that's not for us.
Yeah, maybe we weren't clear then, and now we are. So many variables, right?
Exactly.
So anybody else? I'm seeing people kind of little activity in the background here. So if you have any questions, ahas, insights for Debbie, now's the time.
I have a question. This is Rose. Debbie, do you have a CRM that you like using? I know you're really into systems.
Yeah, so Rose, this is a beautiful thing. So my CRM is, and I'm gonna give a backstory and then I'm gonna answer a question. I think I have used just about every CRM that's out there because I wanted to put it through the paces. None of them gave me the visual representation that made the most sense to my brain, and they didn't work effectively for me. So my CRM is a good old-fashioned spreadsheet with reminders that are set to pop up on my calendar that boss me around and tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I've been using that system full on since 2012, and it doesn't let me down.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And what I love about that too, Rose, is, you know, between Google Sheets and Excel, it's free. So, like, for a business, you know, depending on what stage people are who are listening here in business, you know, there are a lot of low-cost and free tools that are out there for you. We don't need to go spending thousands of dollars right out of the gate. You can grow into things in your business. Don't feel like you've got to spend $1,500 or $2,000 on something. Again, I'm a big fan of investing in technology. But be really mindful of what works for you and then look for the tool that can meet you where you are. For me, my tool is a good old-fashioned spreadsheet and a calendar.
I love it. And so when you make an entry in the spreadsheet, then you manually make the reminder entry in your calendar? Is that or is there a way to build
that? There's a two-part process to that. There was a time that I did. That is correct, where I would be the one that would enter it in. Now it's a task that my virtual assistant has. So she goes in on certain days that we've agreed. She goes into the spreadsheet and she looks at the notes and then sorts it based upon the dates where the next actions need to occur. And she gets them into my calendar and set as reminders for me so I don't have to do that. So then I'm leveraging my time to be able to do what I need to do and, you know, leaning into her talent to do those reminders. But, yes, in the early days when I was, like many, doing it all myself, I would update the spreadsheet, get it into my calendar. Now I just enter them into the spreadsheet and then she updates my calendar for me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great question, Rose. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Cindy.
Anyone else?
So, Debbie, this is Gail. And I wrote down everything you said. I wrote down all the success things that you just said. And it just reminds me of years ago when Cindy gave me a document that explained every, I was real green then. So it was a document that said, you know, step one, step two, step three, and do these things exactly and say exactly what she's written down. And I actually did it. And I, I acquired a few customers through that years ago. And I just seeing all this written down, it just reminds me how important systems are and how to be, how to commit to your goals. I mean, those are really crucial to any business, but especially, I think, right now, network marketing for me, that's when I used to be coachable.
I love it. Well, thank you for that, because I, you know, I used to, when I owned my brokerage back in 2008, when I owned that brokerage, you know, my sales process was like, it was a complete system. And so I would tell my team, you know, when I would bring them on and add to the team and we do trainings, that this for me when I trained them wasn't a system that I had developed. It was a system that somebody gave me, and I was smart enough to see that if I did it, it would work. And I, you know, and I think that, you know, somebody asked me recently, what's your secret to success? And I said, you know, humbly, I think my secret to success is I don't ask a lot of questions about why things won't work and try and prove the system wrong. I take a look at the system and then run with the system until the point that it feels like my own. So often as business owners, we see something that works. And it, again, direct sales, network marketing, you know, there is a system to their process, and the ones who are successful are the ones who are following the system, and the ones who get stuck in that kind of struggle place get into this, oh, I've done this, you know, this would be one of my questions I'd ask one of my sales guys is when I would go through the, you know, our process, I would say, so what do you think about that? And they'd say something like, oh, you know, yeah, I've tried that and it didn't work. It's like, okay, you're not my guy. Like, it just, this isn't going to work, because what's going to happen is we're going to arm wrestle for the next 6 months with me showing you all the reasons that people who are following the system are getting results, and you telling me why it's not working because you're not working the system. And so let's just save each other a lot of challenges. You know, the beautiful part is that success doesn't have to be complicated. And I think that, again, that's what makes success so challenging, is that our humanness, right, is the thing that gets in our way. And if we can have hacks and little tricks like this and reminders and calendars and spreadsheets and put together your system for success, you will get results that you desire when you stick to it. It's inevitable. I mean, it's like the I think of this all the time. You know, success isn't, it's not a race. It's, you know, there's no sprint to this. You know, there it is definitely an endurance race, not just a marathon. It is an endurance race. And I think of it like the drop of water, right? So we think about the impact that a single drop of water over time has on a solid object, you know, on a piece of stone as an example. That drop of water goes into that stone over and over and over, not a roaring river, but just a single drop over time is going to make an impact. And while I don't want centuries to have to pass for all of us to get our success, the point is that if we can just be consistent, right, and just be like that little drop of water taking consistent daily right action, we will get where we want to go.
Yes, thank you.
Love it. Great. All right. Well, we have just a couple minutes for maybe another question. Anybody else have anything or ahas that that came to them as Debbie was sharing before we wrap everything up here?
Yeah, I'll make a comment. This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, what I like is this sharing your success and vision and wins. I think I like that because I've always refrained from doing that for fear of people thinking I was bragging. And but I guess, you know, if it's done right, you really do, like Debbie says, you really do. You use it to inspire other people, because so many times business owners, you know, are basically kind of alone or feel they're alone. And so sometimes, I guess, if you do share your wins and your successes, you can really inspire them on and not feel so alone that they actually, you know, we all share an endeavor, you know?
Yep. Thank you for that, Chuck. You know, it's so important. And you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, as a coach, I always ask my clients, you know, each week, you know, what's a success that you've had? What's a win? And, you know, I keep a log. And when I feel like they're not making progress, or, again, they haven't gotten to the big success, but they have made progress, then we focus on that. You know, each of you can do that. You know, you can keep the log, the success log for yourself, and reconcile it every week. You know, what were my wins for the week? I made my 20 phone calls. You know, had 2 one-on-one meetings, I had 3 meetings with strategic partners, I landed the big deal, I hit my revenue goal, whatever it is. But you start keeping track of that, and it encourages you, and it gives you the confidence to share that success with other people. You know, when there's a difference, and Chuck, you know this, you've been in business a long time, time. There's a difference between somebody who's like, hey, look at me, and somebody who's like, oh my gosh, I can't contain myself. Like, I just have to share what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this different energy, right? And so if you bring that intention to it, it really matters. But we do want, you know, to celebrate people's success, and we want to know, you know, what has you lit up and how we can support you. And again, just remember too, Chuck, that when you win, it inspires other people to stay on their own path too. Because you never know, that could be the day that somebody's really struggling and they're like, gosh, you know what, Chuck, when you shared that, that was just the kick in the pants I needed. Because I thought, you know, I know he works hard and I know I work hard and I know I can get there too. So thanks for that.
Yeah, really good point.
I love that. And it's inspiring, Chuck, that you're sharing that as a man, because at women, we talked about this at a couple of our meetings. We really struggle with this. I mean, I do too. It's just the way young girls are raised to, you know, I like the way Debbie said it, you know, don't be too big for your britches. Right, Debbie?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's some reprogramming that needs to happen. But, you know, the insight I have right now is that it's not just women, it's men too. Thanks to your sharing, Chuck. But I'm looking at my vision board that I did. Actually, I did two vision boards, a business one and a personal one, for 2020. And some words, as Chuck was sharing, jump out to me. It says, be brave enough to blossom. Mm. And I love that, because we know that blossoming is good. That's kind of the fulfillment of our success. But at the same time, we feel that it's kind of braggy. But we do have to be brave, because it is something that's not, it hasn't been taught. It hasn't been ingrained in a lot of us. And it's not because I know my dad has always wanted me to be successful and do well. But at the same time, I really heard, like, you know, you need to kind of be in the background and don't be, you know, don't think too much of yourself, you know. So it's just, it is reprogramming, you know, a lot of reprogramming that needs to go on too. So thank you for that. Well, thank you everyone for your questions and for being on the call. I just want to wrap up here, just to honor the time for all of you. By reminding you that our upcoming Exceptional Connections Networking Luncheon on the second Tuesday, so that would be March 10th, I'm really honored that I get to speak, and I'm going to be combining our Connection Circle Review with my talk, and we're going to be focusing on the 6 steps to exceptional connecting, becoming a person of influence. And the bonus is our community in Woodinville gets to experience for the first time a connection exchange. And so for those of you on the line, let me give you a little, you know, a little taste of it. So you'll have an opportunity after learning about and reviewing the 6 steps to locate somebody in the room that you don't know as well, and beeline it to them. And then we'll have an opportunity to have you know, a few minutes for each person to walk through the Connect, Discover, Listen, and then you'll be given a homework assignment to exchange contact information with that person and contribute, follow up, and nurture on your own. So we're just going to really dive deep into the connection circle and use it as a tool. So it's not just theoretical. It's a practical tool that we can use with our kids, our spouse, our business partner, our clients, and really take our relationships to the next level with intention. So love to have you join us. Brenda Reese will be offering her exceptional insight. We're really honored, and she has a beautiful one to share with us. I have to just say, her insight is why we're doing this. That's, you know, Chuck and I have been leading the charge on just drawing brilliance out of our community and having people understand that they're more than just their business, that we have some really amazing people in our community. And so you'll want to hear her insight. Chuck is going to be, Chuck Oxford, who is on the call today, he's going to be the spotlight speaker at our Vancouver, Washington luncheon on March 12th. He's going to be talking about Disc Generation 2.0, Expanding Your Influence. And we had the pleasure of having him share with our community December 2018, I think it was. Great information. And you know, if you're able to join us in Vancouver, let us know. We'll be carpooling there. But wait, there's more. Before you sign off today, there's another opportunity to really hear from Debbie and her brilliance. And we're just so grateful for Debbie generously sharing what she's learned along the way and what she offers her clients. So she's created a skill shop, Creating Success, Connection, Consistency, and Cash Flow, which, you know, we both kind of chatted about the topic before we launched this, and it just really feels synergistic with where we're at right now in this time in history and this time of the year. So now more than ever, your business success will be based on your ability to deeply connect deeply. Cultivating quality over quantity in relationships is your most valuable currency. So to drive success in coming years, you're going to need to go old school and focus on the analog in the relationship in a digital world. Creating a consistent process will distance you from the competition. Connection with clients, prospects, and champions needs to be a magnetic process. When you develop consistent, deep connections, you will have a positive impact on your cash flow and business. So while I've got Debbie on the line, Debbie, tell us more about why you feel it's so important for us to be in this place of connection, consistency, and cash flow, and what you're going to be covering in your skill shop.
Thanks, Cindy. You know, you and I both subscribe to a philosophy that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so if we think about it from a marketing perspective, and marketing is the fuel that drives the sales engine of your business, it all starts with a relationship. And so where people, you know, as the cool kids would say, just start these days and try and go from, hey, I know you, to, hey, buy from me, is the missing that relationship piece. And relationships develop in different stages. Some people go deep and fast. Other people, you know, take longer to get there. But what I'm going to share in the skill shop, and it's a two-hour hands-on roll up your sleeves and get the work done, you're going to walk out with a marketing plan that's going to be very high touch, combining some of the foundational and fundamental pieces that I teach my private clients and the systems to be able to execute on them. And this doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to use technology, because we do. You know, automation and technology, as my friend Betsy says, shows people how much we care, but we still have to make it a very human process. And when you have that kind of commitment to the relationships that you're building and developing, from prospects to champions, even existing clients and former clients, those relationships develop, and when you consistently are having conversation with them and sharing with them and supporting them and celebrating them, there is a direct impact on your cash flow. And I'm going to give you at the skill shop several examples of how this comes to fruition for people.
Thank you, Debbie. That's beautiful. And so if you want to learn more about Debbie Page and what she has to offer her clients, debbiepage.com. And so there is an opportunity, I'll just say, to capture the $97 bonus call and luncheon rate that ends today. And so what I recommend is just text me if you're on the line, and I will give you the rate that is available at that time, save you a seat to be able to join us. We're going to be just really, like Debbie said, rolling up our sleeves and really using this opportunity to work on our business in a way that's going to take you to where you want to go, so that you don't have to do it alone. You'll have the guidance from Debbie and the opportunity to ask questions and really accomplish what you want. So, Debbie, in just the last minute we have here, can you share with our listeners how they can work with you if they're really intrigued by what you've been sharing and, you know, want to do the skill shop, but also want more of you? How can they do that?
Oh, thanks, Cindy. I appreciate that. Well, you know, I would say, no matter where you are on your journey as a woman business owner, I have limitless resources that are available to help you make more confident decisions, operate with greater ease, and keep more of the money you make. And so the first way you could consider doing is the easiest way, where every week since 2017, Women business owners from around the world are tuning into my free Learn and Earn coaching sessions inside my private Facebook group, the Women's Business Profit Lab. So if you're curious what you can learn from me there, this is a great place to start. It's free. You can check it out. You can get 30 minutes of free coaching every single week. And you can just search on Facebook for the Women's Business Profit Lab, and you'll see my face. And just request to join, answer the three questions, and we'll get you in and introduce you to the group. And then the second way would be private coaching. You know, if you're the kind of business owner who really is ready to keep more of the money you make, then it's a good idea to investigate joining my profitability inner circle. And these are my private clients who get undivided one-on-one attention in regular coaching sessions, along with text and email support throughout the month for kudos, kicking the pants, in the moment problem solving, whatever needs to happen. So if you are somebody who is ready for a truth-telling, hand-holding, solid-as-a-rock CFO standing by you in the day-to-day operation of your business, then this coaching is as close as you'll get without investing over $360,000 annually in hiring a CFO. Yeah, that's the low-end going rate of a CFO. So I would just say, you know, take a spin in the Women's Business Profit Lab. I think that's a great place to start, especially if we're new to one another. You get a sense of what my coaching style and my philosophy is about. And if that, you know, speaks to you, then the next step would be to schedule a complimentary Taste of Success discovery session where I can learn more about you and your business, what's going on, and see if we might be a fit to work together. So thank you, Cindy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Debbie. And I just want to end with, I've known Debbie for 13 years now. We met at eWomen starting the same year. And, you know, we've both evolved. We've both grown. And the know, like, and trust factor is definitely there. I adore Debbie, and I've really seen her spread her wings. And, I mean, she was always brilliant, so I can't say that that's evolved. She's always been an amazing person that I've respected. But I just want to encourage anybody who's on the line or who's listening to this replay to check out DebbiePage.com. She's a valued member of our community, always there to support and very generous and has so much to offer. So thank you, Debbie. Thank you to everyone on the call today. I'll just leave you with remember to make every connection an exceptional connection. So take care, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And thank you again, Debbie, for your generosity.
Thank you, Cindy. And thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.